Mention Spam, the most processed of processed meats, and you're bound to get a range of intense reactions, from yelps of revulsion to cries of genuine affection, and yes, even ironic appreciation. Aaron DeJesus, editor of the blogs Eater Portland and Eater National, has written a brief history of the canned mystery meat, and I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Didn't you grow up eating Spam?
I did grow up eating Spam, and I was actually rather surprised to discover that that is not the case for a lot of people I talk to.
How often was it prepared in your home?
My parents would griddle Spam for breakfast, maybe every few weeks or so. It was definitely not an everyday food, but maybe every month or 6 weeks, we would enjoy Spam for breakfast.
Is Spam a favorite ingredient in Filipino cuisine, at least in your family?
Well, my parents grew up in the Philippines. We are actually Chinese, but they were both born and raised there. And I think the product is rather popular in a lot of Pacific Asian countries, although I wouldn't say that Spam is necessarily central to Filipino food. I'm not an expert, but I'm thinking of about, you know, 24 dishes that don't necessarily incorporate Spam. I think it's probably more seen as a convenience food or something, you know, very quick and easy that you can cook up.
I know it's popular with many Chinese people, with Koreans, with Hawaiians. Because it's like a food that would be that people would have found back in the home country?
So Spam's proliferation, I guess, in the Asian Pacific really started around World War II. It is an American product, and it fed a lot of American GIs during the war. So it was shipped to that region because it was canned, it was shelf-stable, and it didn't need any refrigeration. So while the GIs took it to all these Pacific Island countries, it definitely stuck in places like Hawaii, the Philippines, Guam, places that had a large American presence.
Although I've heard that the GIs weren't always that happy to be eating Spam as many as 3 times a day. They even sent hate mail to the Hormel company.
They did. I found in my research a lot of really funny examples of GIs who were sending hate mail, who were poking fun at alternative uses for Spam. You use it to, you know, grease up your engine and all of that. But, you know, they were eating Spam and all sorts of other processed meats 3 times a day. So, you know, if you do something that often, you tend to get tired of it.
What are the ingredients in Spam? I always thought it was like pig eyes and pigtails and all the things that you don't eat otherwise.
The ingredients are actually surprisingly straightforward. It's basically ground pork, mostly pork shoulder, and they just mix it with salt, water, sugar, and sodium nitrate, which is the preservative that helps it retain its pink color. So it's also in hot dogs, you know, deli hams, that sort of thing.
Why was it developed? Do we know why?
We do. So it was invented by J. Hormel in 1937. His father, George Hormel, founded the Hormel Company in Austin, Minnesota. And at the time, in the mid to late 30s, canned deli ham was very popular. So you would go to the deli and order, you know, a shaved slice of canned ham the same way we would do regular ham now. And J. Hormel decided that he wanted to sort of bring the product directly to the consumer in a much smaller size than a canned ham. And not only do that, but to brand it, to make it a distinctly Hormel product, which is how the Spam name came about.
And do we know why it was named Spam? I've heard a number of acronyms, but not all of them are flattering.
Yes. My favorite acronym is Scientifically Processed Animal Matter, which is the best I've heard. But no, according to Hormel, he has said, and you know, the current Hormel line, is that he held a contest, a New Year's Eve party, with many, you know, colleagues and coworkers, asking some of the name. They had the product already done. The name was still in flux. And as the story goes, it was the brother of a Hormel vice president who threw together the words spice and ham, mashed it up, and it became Spam. And Hormel had told interviewers in, you know, preceding years that I immediately, when I heard that word, I knew that was the one.
Oh, I always thought it was just that it's maps spelled backward. What is the appeal of Spam for some people? Do you think that it has a kitschy appeal?
It absolutely does have a kitschy appeal. I think for certain people, is an irony to it. I mean, certainly the people who are buying the spam T-shirts at Urban Outfitters and who are crafting all these spam crafts probably fall into that category. But I think among that same group of people, there are also diners who consider themselves maybe more adventurous or food enthusiasts, and who will, you know, seek out maybe food from different cultures. So I think it's probably a little bit of both worlds there.
I'm speaking to Aaron DeJesus, editor of the blogs Eater Portland and Eater National, about spam. And I understand that you reviewed a number of spam cookbooks for your article about spam. Some of the recipes from the 1960s don't sound particularly appetizing. Maybe you know which ones I mean, the one like
yes.
Spam upside down pie.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that one up. But yeah, so I found in my research lots of vintage recipes, advertisements, cookbooks. A lot of it from the 50s and 60s is very much the idea of like convenience cooking, you know, open a couple packages and throw it together. So the one you mentioned, Spam Upside Down Pie, was literally you would line a Bundt cake pan with slabs of Spam and then put either house-made or, as they suggest, pre-made biscuit dough on top of it, and you just stick the whole thing in the oven, and that would be dinner. Or there was another recipe from that era that was Spam Chili. Again, open a can of Hormel brand chili, put Spam on top, and that was it. I mean, recent recipes are also kind of similarly unique. The Spam brand does hold or has held annual contests or things for Spam fans to sort of submit their own recipes. And current versions are equally as interesting. I'm looking at a photo of there's an apple Spam turnover, for example, which is Spam and cream cheese and cranberries. There's a recipe here for a Spam bread pudding, which is pineapple, Spam, and bread pudding. So I think, you know, all these unique recipes are definitely a part of Spam.
You know, we're doing this during lunchtime. I'm sure some people are getting upset. But haven't sales of Spam picked up in recent years? Do you think that it's helped to some degree by the fact that the word Spam has also been associated with the Internet? So everybody knows the name now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fun fact that I actually did not know, is that the Internet Spam, you know, those annoying emails you get, was named for Spam, and more specifically the Monty Python sketch, which made fun of the idea of Spam being in everything on the menu, you know, as it was in post-war England. It's interesting in that it's not a flattering connotation necessarily between Spam, the Internet usage, and Spam, the food. But, I mean, sales have increased. That is true. In 2008 in particular, when the recession started, Hormel reported a major uptick in sales of Spam. And the Spam brand itself, I think, is also really good at sort of embracing that sort of fun, kitschy aspect of it. It's rolling out Spam in all sorts of new flavors, more so in the past 5 years than it had in the preceding dozen. So it's targeting different markets with, you know, hot and spicy Spam and jalapeno Spam and Spam in different flavor profiles, if you will.
You're in Portland, which is one of the most food-conscious cities in the country. Are you seeing Spam on menus as it seems to be appearing in other parts of the country? You note that one restaurant in L.A. went so far as to mix Spam with foie gras. I guess mm-hmm. that's the ultimate in high and low.
Yes. Spam, it's not on a ton of menus here in Portland. I mean, certainly I think traditional Hawaiian restaurants, Korean restaurants. There is one example I do know of, a Hawaiian restaurant where you can get a fried Spam musubi, and it's on the menu, you know, like right next to, you know, the locally sourced butchered in-house pork belly. I think among a certain group of diners, there really is less of a distinction between, you know, quote unquote, artisanal meat and bad meat and that sort of thing. They coexist in that menu pretty well together.
You note that even James Beard Award winner Alan Wong has attempted to recreate Spam himself. How successful was that?
Well, I haven't had it, unfortunately. I have not been to Hawaii to eat at his restaurants. But he does do a house-made Spam. I guess it's sort of a tureen that he calls Spong. So half Spam, half Wong. And I do believe he serves it at one of his restaurants for breakfast. So similar to how I ate it as a kid. It's, you know, next to toast and maybe eggs.
Were your memories of eating Spam as a child sufficient for you to do research for this article, or did you have to go out and try some once again?
I went out, and for the purpose of the research, I had pan-seared spam for the first time in probably 20 years or so.
How was it?
It was a lot saltier than I remembered. It was aggressively salty, and it was really funny how different it was from, I guess, my sense memory of it. And maybe it could be I'm just a terrible cook.
Well, you write about food. Does that mean that you just write about it? You don't actually make it?
Well, I write for a site called Eater, and I always joke that it fits me perfectly and that I am more than happy to eat whatever you put in front of me, but I recognize that my talent for preparing it isn't necessarily there.
People can have an aversion to canned meat, but they're okay with canned tuna and sardines. Do you think there's a double standard and that spam may have been unfairly maligned?
I do think there is a double standard there, and I spoke for the purposes of this article with a food historian, Rachel Ladan, who has done a lot of work about the history of food in Hawaii and the effects that, you know, cultural empires have on food. And she brought up this excellent point that spam is often considered the food that's eaten by people over there, quote unquote, in the Asian Pacific. And there's sort of otherness to spam that doesn't exist in the same way that we feel about, as you say, sardines or even hot dogs, which are considered a very American food, but are equally as processed. So I would have loved, had I had, the time and space to really go into that aspect of it. Why is there sort of a foreignness or an otherness to spam? And why is it maybe less American or more maligned than something like a hot dog would be, for example?
Aaron DeJesus is editor of the blogs Eater Portland and Eater National. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.